Good morning, everybody. We are now in Parashat Vayigash. Vayigash elav Yehuda. Yehuda is approaching Joseph, not knowing he's Joseph, of course. He thinks he is the second in command, the second to Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt. And after he's being told that Joseph doesn't want all of them to be slaves because they stole his gavia. Goblet, whatever you want. Goblet, I heard a lot of translation to the Mila Gavia, but okay. Everybody understands what the Gavia is. So he says, no, the only one I found the goblet in his rucksack is in sack, is going to be the slave. All you can go home. So Yehudah approaches Joseph and wants to talk with him. And the first question is, why
are we left?
No, it's like, oh, 1 minute, it's
you,
okay.
You
we just started. We just started.
Are we left?
So, the question is, what happened now that Yehudah decides to speak with Joseph? They went through a lot until now. They don't try to approach Yehudah and Joseph and speak with him. So what has changed the mind of Yehudah that suddenly now Vayigash Yehudah? So one of the explanations is that when we look, we see that he's telling the same story that was already being told before to Joseph. You asked us who you are, who we are. We told you we are 10 brothers. We are 12 brothers. 10 came here to take food. You ask us, do you have a father? Yes, we have a father. You ask all those questions and we're answering you. And what is your approach? You are spies.
What is spies?
Spies, meraglim.
No.
That they come... No, spies is when you come to an undercover agent.
Ah, okay.
Undercover spy agent is a spy.
Spy?
No. Yes.
Don't let anyone see that you spy.
Okay, so now the question is, this is an old story already. This is what you told in the beginning, and then again, and you didn't say anything. So why are you now approaching Joseph, telling him the same story? The thing is, I think the Rav Yitzchak Bernstein says, till now, Yehudah thought that because of what they did with Joseph, they are being blamed and they are being punished from God. Now, we have to be very clear about it. Not about selling Joseph. They thought and still think that they were right selling Joseph. But what they are sorry about is that he asked them for mercy and they didn't listen to him. And they maybe should have listened to him, and that's because now they are getting punished. This whole episode with this guy that He arrested one of the brothers and then he sends them bring the other brother. All this thing is because of what? Because they did something wrong with Joseph. Who was involved in selling Joseph?
All of them except the eldest.
Reuven was not involved because Reuven said throw him to the pit and he went away. And when he came back,
he was already gone.
And we didn't know what happened, so Yehudah is the one who decided to sell Joseph while Reuven was not there. And Binyamin, of course, was not involved in any of this. So there is a say that say if two pieces of wood, one is wet, or let's say four pieces of wood, three are dry and one is wet, if the fire comes,
The wet one
is also going to burn eventually with the dry one. Because the dry one are three, they're going to burn, and the heat will eventually also take the one that was wet. And the same thing is in life. Because we can say, if it was only the nine brothers involved without Reuven, we can understand that it's to blame about what they did with Joseph. But if Reuven is involved, so how can you say that this is because of Joseph? You can still say it because of what we said. Oy la rasha, ve'oy leshcheno. That's why you live with an evil guy, you're going to be also going to be punished.
Contaminated.
Yes, that's what it says. Yeah, exactly so. And now when Binyamin is here, also the same excuse that, okay, Binyamin was not involved at all, but we are 10 and Binyamin is 11. So because of we are, he's with us, so we're all being blamed. We're all being punished. But now, when Joseph says, 1 minute, you all go home, and the only one that stays is who? Binyamin, that is not involved at all. So this means that he's not from God. It's nothing to do with them being punished. Because this guy just decides to keep the one, the only one, was not involved in anything, not selling, not deciding to kill, nothing. So then, Judah says, so here I have to do something. Till now, I thought it's everything from God, whatever God wants. That's what's going to happen. But now, I understand it is my job to stand up and start doing something, because it's not about Joseph. So then he approaches, that's the reason that only now he approaches. Now why he and not Reuven? Because we already learned that Reuven, even though he is the oldest, he is not the guy who is in charge. The guy in charge is Judah. And we all know it, because also David HaMelech is from the tribe of Judah. By the way, most of us also from the tribe of Judah today.
When Yehuda was promising Yaakov to...
Also, Benjamin. He also promised that he's going to keep Binyamin. And if not, he's going to pay for it, not only in this world, but also in the next world. But if you're already talking about it, or Reuven also offered an offer, or Reuven also said, I'm going, you're going to kill my children if I don't bring back Binyamin. And what do you think Yaakov answered him? That you're stupid or something? Your children are my children. What do you mean you're going to kill them? And this is like we have to really, I have to investigate what's going on here, because it's really, Reuven is not a stupid guy. Now, what are you offering? And they say, Bnei Banim Ke Banim. Grandchildren are exactly like children. So, what is your suggestion? You are going, okay, if I don't bring Binyamin back, I kill my two my sons.
Stupid.
And that's why Yaakov doesn't even listen to him. But when Yehuda comes, says, I'm taking in charge, and if I'm not going to stand through it, I am going to lose this world and the next world. This is already, what you say, taking responsibility on things. And that's what we see all the time. Judah is a guy, he makes mistakes. He's not, let's say, a tzaddik that doesn't do anything wrong. He does things wrong here and there. And by the way, this is the reason that Judah is the one that is the king and not Joseph. Because Joseph is such a tzaddik that you cannot relate to him. He doesn't do any mistakes. Wherever he is on top of things. And it's unbelievable, and it's a very good thing to, let's say, to try and be like him, but we connect. If we want a king, you don't want a king that is so up high that he cannot even understand us. We need Judah, because Judah is a guy that takes responsibility, makes mistakes, fixes the mistakes, does tshuva, and that's exactly a guy that we need. Admits in his mistake, and does mistakes like a human, normal human being. And also, Judah, wherever he is, there is a good influence on others. So now Judah is approaching Joseph. And he's telling him, Ki chamocha kefaro. Now, what is the idea? Why is he approaching Joseph? Because he thinks that the interpreter that is among them, he is not interpreting his words the way he says them. Because it sounds very stupid. He is asking them, who are you? And they say, 10 brothers. So he says, you are spies. Says, and do you have a father or whatever? He says, we have a father, you are spies. What's the connection? I ask you, what is the banana? You tell me apple. I ask you, 2 plus 2, you say 10. Well, what's the connection between a question and the answer? He is blaming them to being spies on what? What has he got to blame them being spies? That they are 10 brothers, that they have a father, that they have another son, that there was another son, this is the reason that they are spies? So, Judah thinks this interpreter is an evil guy. Instead of interpreting what he says exactly, he's changing it. And who knows what he told Joseph, that he's blaming them of being spies. So now is the time that I will approach Joseph directly and talk with him. Because you have to understand, Joseph is not sitting with them around the table like we sit. Joseph is the second in command in Egypt. He sits in this big hall on the other side, and he's surrounded with guards, who knows what. And the interpreters comes to them and goes back, comes to them and goes back. So now he is approaching Joseph. He's asking him, "I want to talk to you directly in your ears, because something here is wrong." And he says, "So, but he has an interpreter," which means that Joseph doesn't understand the language. So why do you approach him? He says, "Ki chamocha kefaro." One of the requirements of to being a minister in Egypt is to know the languages of all the whole region. Pharaoh had to know 70 languages. 70 languages, yes. That was one of the things. Otherwise, he couldn't be Pharaoh. So, you, second in command, you must understand Hebrew, which is not far away from you. So, I am approaching you, and I will talk to you directly.
I'm insightful. He has 70 languages, but his mind is Pharaoh.
By the way, one of the things that says ki chamocha kefaro, you are like Pharaoh, is an insult.
Yeah.
Why is it an insult? Because Pharaoh is there because he is the son of Pharaoh, the other Pharaoh, not because he's clever. But you, Joseph, you're supposed to be very clever because you were a slave and you become a king. Yeah. So it means that you have a lot of seichel. You are very, very clever. But here you show me that you are like Pharaoh, stupid like Pharaoh. That's what he's saying. This is, by the way, a diplomatic way, and we see it the whole way through the book of Bereshit. That all that, like Yaakov especially, he knows how to say things that have two meanings. It's like they say that once came somebody to Mozart and told him, "Did you hear the music of Salieri?
Salieri?
He says, "Yes." "What do you say of it?" "Unbelievable." So this can be unbelievable good, it can be unbelievable bad. Depends what you mean. And that's exactly the same thing. You see, you can say something to somebody, but you have a double meaning in it. And that's exactly what here is happening. He is telling from one side, "You are like Pharaoh, you are a great guy." On the other guy, "You're not a great guy, you're a stupid guy. We thought you are a clever guy. But when we talk to you, the way you answer, or you don't understand, and that's why I want to approach you, or you are really stupid, like Pharaoh. That's got the position because he's the son of the king before." And this is, by the way, it's very good. This is, by the way, the reason he approaches Joseph. And now, what is happening?
Does he talk Hebrew to Joseph at that time?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh.
Because he's got an interpreter.
Till now he had an interpreter.
Yeah.
So now he's talking to him directly in the language because he sees that something is wrong here. So now, when he is approaching, he's telling him the whole story again and explaining to him, "You know, if you leave Binyamin here, our father is going to die. He's going to get a heart attack. He's going to be so terrible. You already lost one son. I'm going to lose another one. It's impossible. I cannot do this and that." And then Joseph is answering them, "Ani Yosef, Aod Avi Chai. I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" "What do you mean, is your father still alive? Just now you heard that he is alive." What is really saying? Our sages say that this sentence is the worst rebuke that you have in the whole Bible in one sentence. In one sentence, everything is being told. What is being told? It says, "You are telling me now that our father, Chas v'Shalom, could have died or would die or will die if I'm not bringing back Binyamin. Why didn't you think about it when you sold me and wanted to kill me? I am Joseph. Is my father still alive after what you did to him? Now you're worried? And what happened then?" And when they heard this, they couldn't do anything. They were like in a shock. And the Midrash says that they died from a shock. They got a heart attack, and an angel came and bring the neshama. And think to yourself, 22 years, they think that they did the right thing and the righteous thing, because they got rid of the one arrogant guy that was Chas v'Shalom taking the lead to Am Yisrael. They were sure that they are doing the right thing. And suddenly now they find, imagine to yourself living for 22 years thinking you did the best thing to your children or to your family or to your friends, and then suddenly you find out that what you did
was absolutely wrong.
Wrong. How do you feel? Terrible. Terrible. And that's the way they felt now. Now, thinking about Joseph. Joseph is really, here again we see how unbelievable this guy is. What, you know, what would you do if your brother wanted to kill you and then sold you and you were tortured and went through, you were a slave and you were in jail? What would you do? Now you have the power. What would you do? Would you hug them?
No.
Would you give them presents?
No.
You will teach them a lesson. What is Joseph doing?
He
hugs them.
He did the opposite.
I am Joseph. Hey, come close to me. They don't know what to say. It's for them so hard to understand what's going on, what's happening here. And they don't even believe that Joseph really is there, wanting, loves them. And if you remember, what did he say when he looked for them? Et echai anochi mevakesh. I'm asking for my brothers. And that time also, he knew that his brother hate him. And he, though they hate him, he wanted to be with them. And this is what he's doing here also. He's explaining to them, don't worry, I'm Joseph. Come close, I'm Joseph, again and again and again. Till they come down and realize that he really loves them. And this is unbelievable. And how is he trying to convince them that he loves them? He says, you didn't send me here. God sent me here. And nevertheless, he sent me here so I can help you today. And then he tells them, it's only good what you did. It's unbelievable, you know. Okay, you can say, God turned things and it had to happen and I'm now here to help you. Okay, I can accept it. But to tell them, you did me a favor? They wanted to kill you. And he told them, you did me a favor. And he said, I think there's a nice mashal about on this. I don't think it's the Magid Midubna. I think it's the Magid Midubna. But in order to understand it, it's like, this was this king. And he had a big diamond. And one day, something happened. It cracked. There was a crack in it. So he asked all the jewelers in the kingdom to fix it. It was worth millions. And all came and says, you know, the only thing you can do is cut the stone to two, or even maybe we'll to three. We don't know how it's going to work because there's a crack in it. And you're going to lose a lot of money. Didn't know what to do. And then came this guy. He looked at the stone. My king, let me look at the stone. And he looks at the stone. And then he tells the king, you know what? Not only I'm going to bring it back to the value it was, I'm going to increase the value much more. The king looked at him. Maybe I've got a Michiganer here. All the great jewels of the kingdom tell me, and it's very logical, you know, it's a crack. That's it, finished. And this guy is telling me, not only is going to save the stone, he's going to make it better. He says, okay, explain to me how you're going to do this. He says, look, my king, you see the scratch here? Now, because of the scratch, I've got the ability now to try and make it a little bigger. This guy is really crazy. And I'm going to do, with the scratch, I'm going to draw your crown. And then add to it your name. And now you will have, you will be the only one in the world that's got a big stone like this, that in it is engraved your name and the crown. Because normally it's impossible to do. And this is only because of the crack. Because if I didn't have this scratch, I couldn't do anything, couldn't go in it. Because the minute I will go in it, I will break it. In other words, that is what Joseph is trying to tell. He says, you didn't do anything to me. Nevertheless, what you did, you brought me to be the king. And if you wouldn't have done it, I wouldn't have come here to be a king. In other words, it's your privilege. I don't know how to say it because it's so hard to understand Joseph. But this is Joseph. And that's again why we cannot really relate to him. Because he's such a tzaddik that really is, if he had to judge us, oy va'avoy. And the Midrash says, oy va'avoy to us when we stand in front of God. Why? The tribes couldn't stand in front of Joseph, which is a human being. How would we stand in front of God when God is telling me, I'm God? Okay, now tell me your stories. And you know, it's it's so true, because in life we do a lot of decision, and sometimes we do a mistake, but because we did it, we go on with it, and then we convince ourselves that it's the best thing that we can do. It's like this diamond dealer, again with diamonds. This diamond dealer, and you know how today it's the diamond field is very hard, because for the cutters, for example, they are normally it's being done by machines, by laser. So the whole thing, they lost their jobs. It's unbelievable. But still, big stones they give to people, to human being to do, because a human being can see more than a machine. A machine is just cutting and that's it. But a human being can see the options that a machine cannot see. This guy was really at very bad times. He was working, he and his sons, in cutting diamonds, but there was hardly work. And suddenly this big shot from the boss, this dealer, comes to him and tells him, "I've got here a few big stones. I'm going to give it to you, and I want you to cut them the best way you can.
Polish
them." Wow, he says, "What? That's good. That's very good. Because it's a lot of money, and that's parnoso." So he takes the stones and starts. You know, did you see a diamond how it is before? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It looks like a piece of nothing.
Yeah.
A black piece of nothing, yeah. If you don't know what it is, you will throw it on the floor. But that's how you make the diamond. And this was really a big piece. So he started cutting and polishing and thing, and suddenly he did a mistake in a calculation, and he did cut a little more. So his children see it, they're saying, "Father," says, "you tell me what to do, what do you do? You yesterday you started the business, I'm doing it for all my life, I know what I'm doing." Because he couldn't admit that he did a mistake. And he went on with it. He says, "What is this guy? I'm going to, that's why it's good, that's the best you can do. There's one other option." So he's going on with this mistake, and instead of the diamond being, let's say, 3 carats, it became 2 carats. And you know, there's a big difference. So the day comes, he is coming to the office to show to work to this diamond dealer. He opens the door and he stops, and he couldn't believe what he was seeing. All the experts of the Borsa were standing there in order to check the stones he did. And they had the photos of how the stone looked before and how it's supposed to look after he cuts it properly. And of course, there was nothing to compare with what he had in his hand. And that's exactly the same thing. We can lie to ourselves the whole time, but we cannot lie to God. We cannot lie to the expert. And we can say, "This is right what we're doing." And people telling us, "You know, now I know what I'm doing." And unfortunately, we have it. Everybody's got it. Because, you see, this is not a story. This is telling us about what's happening inside us all the time. We also don't see what we don't want to see. We see only what we want to see. We do things sometimes and we go on with the same by because we know that if we admit we did a mistake, we have to change a lot of things. So we go on in the same thing. It's like this guy tells himself, "Okay, what's going on? I'm diabetic. I'm not allowed to eat cakes and things like this." Sugar. Say, "What am I like? One cake." Then the next day, another cake. Or the guy who stopped smoking, "I'll take one cigarette." And we all know what it's leading to. And this is your judgment. And you have to understand, that's what Yuda is saying. He says, "Be Adoni." What is Be Adoni? Be Adoni sounds like, like, maybe you can explain Be Adoni that. What is it writing here? It's interesting. It says Be Adoni. You try and find me what's the translation of Mi Adoni. You can see. You can see. Try and tell me. We have Be Adoni. Tell me if you see
it. I think that the people that have a better English.
Who's got a better English?
I don't have my glasses.
Okay, never mind. I'm interested. I'm trying to find a translation to Be Adoni. I cannot find it. Maybe you will find it.
Be
It's not. We'll see in a minute. It's not so simple. The first Mishnah says, "Va'igash Yehuda, va'yom bi Adoni." Okay, that's the translation of Bi Adoni, yes?
If you please, it's Bi Adoni.
Yeah, if I try to say, translate it literally, what is Bi? Bi, what is Bi? In me, Bi, Betochi. Bi Adoni, my master is inside me. That's the translation, if I want to translate it, exactly what's written, because otherwise it's a very strange phrase. So the translation cannot cope with it. So what is he saying? Please. Bi Adoni is please. We are maybe used to it because we read it. So we translate. But that's not the translation. So what is really Yehuda saying? He's again saying him, as we said, there are a lot of things here that we see, we think on the surface, and then there is an inside of it. And what is the inside? He says to this guy, Bi Adoni, my master is inside me. What is my master? The neshama.
The sechel, which is the neshama.
The neshama is, by the way, the neshama is the sechel. The problem is, it's not always connected with the body. Mm. So our sechel is not always connected. Now, in the sechel, we know what's wrong, but the heart says, okay, let's enjoy life, let's do this, let's do that. So we have to connect it. It's like the Rav Nevensal says, there are two pipes. One is the sechel and one is the body. The problem is that they are not always connected. So you have a problem. We have to connect them. So what is really Yudas telling him? He says, you think you're controlling things? You think you are the king? Not you're the king, and I am not the king, but the king is inside me. What I'm doing is what God wants me to do. Bi Adoni, and I am not going according to wrong ideas or desires. I'm doing what my neshama wants me to do. And that's a big thing in life. Who is in control? The body or the head? Should be. But unfortunately, sometimes the head is being influenced by our desires. And we know it's not good to smoke, but you want to smoke. So what do? Smoke. I'm not allowed to eat this cake. What do? You eat the cake. So that's exactly Bi Adoni. That's what he's telling us. Look at what's happening in all this parsha. People not seeing what they're supposed to see. People doing wrong thing because they think not with their mind, they think with their feelings. You have to connect, boys. You have to connect both of them, of course. But that's exactly the thing. Ata chonel la adam dat. You know what is ata that we say in Shmonesa? What is ata chonel la adam dat? You know what dat is? Dat, the normal translation is knowledge, is but the Kabbalic explanation of dat, and by the way, the Bible, it's written. Ve'adam yada et ishto. That's what's written. What does it mean? He knew his wife? No. They connected together. That's yada. In other words, yada, that is connection. And what is the vatachonel adam that you give us the connection, but we have to connect to God and to connect the part of God that is inside us to God and also to what do we do, to the body. Because otherwise, it's no good. So that... You said Chokhmah, Bina, Vadat. That's Chabad, by the way. Chokhmah, Bina, Da'at. What is Chokhmah?
Brain,
Sechel, whatever. Chokhmah is wisdom. What is Bina? Bina is the ability to take the wisdom and build new things out of it. But that's everything is still in the mind. Da'at is bring it to function. Do it. In other words, Da'at is the connection of what you know with your actions.
And what you do.
Exactly, and what you do. And this is what Yehuda is telling us. Bi Adoni, don't let nobody control your mind, your neshama. Let the neshama be in control. Because otherwise, who knows where you're going to get. And that's exactly that the moment when we have to listen to this rebuke. Ani Yosef ha'od avichai. Listen to this and understand. Maybe we did something wrong. Maybe they have to fix it. So that's the time, our parsha, to check what we did. Is it wrong? Is it right? Or maybe we have to change some things. Don't let your wrong judgment lead you to the wrong direction more and more and more. And by the way, this Each one of us got it. That's not talking about something outside. Something is happening with us inside. Everybody with his own problems. Everybody with his own ways. But the thing is, sometimes we have to stop and listen to Yuda. What is he telling us? Be Adonai. Don't forget that the master is supposed to be the neshama and not the desires, the sechel and not the body. And if we do this, that's a king. And that's what we're talking about, kings. That is, they said, the Midrash says, Melachim no'adu. Two kings were talking. And they talk about Joseph and Yehuda. But Joseph is not a king. He's only the second in the kingdom. And Yehuda definitely is not a king because he's not even wearing king's clothes. So what's the idea of kings? Who is a king? The one who is in control on his desires. The one who's got Biadoni. That's the king. And that's those two kings, Joseph and Yehuda. We can relate more to Yehuda, as we said, because Joseph is really at the highest level that can be. Yehuda is more like us. He does mistakes, as we do. But let's be like Yehuda also, admit the mistakes and fix them. Shkoyach.